I'm live. All right, we're going to talk about the return of Jesus to rule. Everybody, I have some good news. Jesus is coming back. Is that some good news or what? And he's going to fix all this mess. How many of y'all look around this world and go, oh my goodness, now what have we gotten into? Jesus is going to come back and clean all this mess up and straighten it out. Amen. Hallelujah. That's some good news. All the governments of this world, all the governments of the nations are going to become his government. Amen. His government. Hey, now that's some good news to me. Turn to Isaiah 9. We're going to go deep in the Word tonight. How many of y'all love the Bible? Like to get deep in the Bible? How many of y'all like this one verse and maybe two, and that's some strong word? Oh, yeah, we're preaching today. How many of y'all like to have about 45 verses and confirm everything that's said by the Bible itself? Hey, you don't want to hear me just talking off the top of my head. You want to hear the Lord. Isaiah 9, verse 6. We read this morning, absolutely. You know, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to take three preachers, assign them the same 15 verses, and see how much different things God can give us out of those same three verses. You know, most of us that are preaching are always freaking out somebody starts to turn one of our verses. Oh my goodness, he's going there. Don't go there. I've already gotten that. But you see, God is so good, and he is so deep, and he is so intense, and these words are so alive, and there's so much in here. I think you could give 45 preachers the same 15 verses, and everybody come up with a different message. Amen? Hallelujah. So anyway, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us the child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, for he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice, righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh El Shaddai will accomplish this. Hey, when he starts throwing down his heavy-duty names, you can trust this is going to come to pass. Amen? You don't have to worry about, will he come back? You don't have to worry about, maybe things won't get straightened out. You can know and take it to the bank and deposit it in your checkbook that he's coming back if he says the zeal of Yahweh El Shaddai is going to accomplish this. Hey, he ain't trifling. Jesus is going to return. And you know what? He's going to have the authority to clean all this mess up. You know, we got some real problems in this world. We got people running around with nuclear weapons that don't have enough sense to wash their clothes in the morning when they get up. And who knows what they're going to do with them? Well, we know what they're going to do with them. It ain't going to be nice. We got some people running around spreading nuclear weapons to folks that's dumber than the ones that got them now. Come on now. We have folks that are spreading pollution all over the world. And then we got some folks saying that driving your car is making the world get hot. Now, come on now. I don't know about you, but if you had eighth grade science, you know that just ain't right. Come on now. Tell it somebody. The sun causes the heating and the cooling of planet Earth. You can burn all the fossil fuels in the planet, on the core, outside, and everything. You ain't going to raise the temperature of this planet 1 degree. It's the sun gets hotter and the sun gets colder. And it's been on an oscillating cycle for the last 6 billion years. So you know what? Come on, back up off our gasoline and bring that gas price down. We like to travel in America. Come on. This ain't Europe where we can walk to the corner grocery. Walmart's 3 miles from the house. Come on. I can't carry nothing back from Walmart. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is going to come back. How will he come back? What will it look like? How will it be? Well, they told us right in the very beginning. Don't you like that? God is so strong, he's so powerful, he's so mighty, he can tell you the end from the beginning, and he can make it come to pass. Amen? He can talk junk right in the devil's face 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, and the devil can't stop him from doing it. Come on, y'all. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking in the sky? And think about this. Jesus just went up in the sky. Wouldn't you be staring up in the sky? When are you coming back? Why are you leaving? Don't go, Lord. I mean, you're standing with him having a good time 1 minute, and all of a sudden he takes off and goes. It's like, hey, man, where you going? Let me go too. I don't want to stay here. Man, the Romans are ruling this mess. I don't want to hang around. And they're like, the same Jesus who you just watched ascend into the clouds is going to come back the same way. See, you don't have to worry about whether he's coming back. You got it right here in the Word of God. The same Jesus is coming back the same way you saw him going to heaven. Well, how did he go? We're not going to turn there. But in John 20, it talks about him taking a secret ascension up once to put his blood on one of these in heaven above. You know, there's an ark of God's covenant in the heavens, and Jesus had to place his precious blood on the ark that's in heaven, not made with human hands. And then he was back that afternoon and told him, put your fingers in the hole, put your hand in my side, and see that I have flesh and blood. That's what he said. And then they see him go up in the clouds. So how's he going to come back? Same exact way. Now, we're not here to talk about the rescue of the saints. We're here to talk about his return to rule. He went up in a cloud. He's coming down in the clouds. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the mount will split in two. And he's going to set up the government of God on earth. That's what the gospel is. The gospel isn't the good news that he came to die for your sins, even though that's a piece of it. The gospel is the good news. He's coming back to restore God's government on earth, and everybody gets to live right. Hey! Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody give him some glory in the house. Now, so many people in the world, so many other Bible scholars, so many other Bible teachers say that the return of the Lord is imminent. Why do they say that? Why do they look around at the signs of the times? You know, Jesus said, you can tell the weather from the sky, and yet you look at the times you live in and can't tell what's going on. But he gave us signs in the Bible that would precede his return. So let's go to Matthew 24 and read the news on Fox or CNN or in the USA Today, right in the pages of your Bible, and it's 2,000 years old. What you see on TV is actually old. It's not news. It's old because God said it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. Come on now. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see all these things, he asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another, and everything will be thrown down. And you know, it was in 70 A.D. Every stone was pried apart. People didn't realize this, but when they burned all of these sacred buildings, they were adorned with so much gold, the gold ran down between the rocks. And the greedy Roman soldiers took pry bars and pried the rocks apart, throwing everyone down to get the gold between the rocks. Not one stone was left on another. Hey, God speaks something, you can't stop it from happening. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, hey, Lord, what's up? What up, man? Tell us what's going on with here. Come on. See, we don't ever think about things in modern English the way we talk. Hey, they were so pious that you see on these TV shows. They were ordinary men and women like you and me, and they talked in the ordinary slang vernacular of their day. Come on now, they were people like we are. Tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I'm the Christ. Many are going to come and tell you, oh yes, he's the Messiah. But they're going to deceive you into believing things that are lies. They're going to teach you a religion that's not the one of the Bible. But they're going to claim he's the Messiah. And he warns you about this right from the very beginning. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Is it happening? Man, no other time has ever had world wars like we had World War I and World War II. People forget about the history of World War I, but it was a worldwide war, just like World War II was. See, we got real short memories in America. We don't remember the last thing that happened. You know, we don't remember the ones that happened before that. You know why? You know why, don't you? Because Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh, he said, because the Lord has made me forget. So none of us can remember a thing. It's just, it's already in there, man. You can't overcome it. It's just there. There will be, nation will rise against nation. In other words, ethnos, as Brad Scott pointed out, ethnos will rise against ethnos. It's not just nation states. People will fight each other, every different ethnic group. What do you see going all over? I was reading in the paper this afternoon before I came up here. Belgium is on the verge of splitting up. You got the Flemish and the Walloons. The Walloons speak French. The Flemish speaks Dutch. And they've gotten along fairly well. They had an election 120 days ago. They can't even form a functioning government because they can't get along. And they're about to split the country up. Look at what went on in Yugoslavia. There what? 70 years of peace? 80 years of peace? And then all of a sudden, the communist wall falls down. We can't live with you anymore. Well, you've been living with us for 50 years. We all mixed up now. No, we got to have everybody separate. Every people group is fighting every other people group because nobody can stand anybody else. The next one is really means religion is fighting religion. And you go all around the world and all these different religions, nobody can live in peace. All right, let's bring it home. Every time you get 12 people in a Sabbath-keeping church, it's time for a split. Huh? Come on now. I mean, it's just the way it is. Brother Combs was talking about the story about the man who was on a deserted island by himself, and they find all these buildings. When they discover him, one building was the church I'm going to now. What's the other one? That's the church I left. You know what I said? He must have been a Sabbath keeper. Hey, we get 12 people. Hey, look here. We can agree on 90% of everything, or maybe 95%, maybe 97%, which is better than most groups ever have in church. But it's that one little thing we differ on. Nobody can handle it until we split up and go our separate ways. Amen? That's sad, but it's right here. It's right here in the Word. It's not kingdom against kingdom. It's religion against religion. And even in the same religions, everybody's going to fight over every little thing. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginnings of the birth pains. We're not even getting serious yet. This is just a little play pretty stuff at the beginning, the little introduction to get you in the show. This is not even the meat and potatoes of what's going to come on. Then you'll be handed over and persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be delivered out of it. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Look, I see a lot of gospels going out, but I don't see the gospel of the coming kingdom of God going anywhere. That's still got to get out. People have got to be told the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of the Messiah. It's a governmental change that's coming. Yes, you've got to be saved and accept him as your Savior, but the whole world has got to know God's fixing to wipe this mess out and change it all up because he's sick of this stuff. And when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let no one on the roof of his house go to take anything out of the house. Let no one go in the field to take back his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. Hold on. Isn't the Sabbath done away? Why would it matter what day your flight was on? But Jesus is saying, pray it doesn't happen on a Sabbath day. Because the people referred to who were going to flee will still be keeping the Sabbath. It will still be a holy day for them, and it will still matter what day of the week it is. For then there will be great distress. See, it's after the time you see the abomination that makes desolate, you will see great distress. My brothers, our billboard over here says, Jesus will return. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's going to come back. He said the zeal of Yahweh Almighty, Yahweh El Shaddai, will accomplish this. There will come a time we'll have to flee. And then the really heavy stuff starts. Will you be saved out of it? Huh? Are you ready? Will you be saved out of it? He promised a deliverance for some. But you know what? We look at the great big wide world of Christianity. And so many people teach, well, everybody that's saved is going to get out of here. Uh-uh. I wish I could tell you that. That's not the truth. Hey, man, do you want me to come and teach you smooth things? Do you want me to come and tell you what you want to hear? You want me to come and tell you everything's going to go great in your life and God's going to bless you and make your car payment, give you a new house? Well, they do it every day on TV. I watch them tell me, if you give your atonement offering, that God's going to bless you so much this year, you will consider it chump change this time next year. Huh? Funny, we didn't ask for a blessing on offering on atonement, did we? Oh, isn't that special? We didn't take one up. Oh. We did take one up. It just wasn't money. We laid our hearts on the altar before God Almighty, and we offered him what he really wants. He said, he don't care about your money. You need your money to make your house payment and your car payment, pay those utilities every month. Come on now. Did y'all have a hot summer? Man, we had 3 days of 108 degrees. At least three that I know, 108 degrees. Because I know, because the heat of the day is when I go to work at 5 o'clock. It's the hottest it gets all day. It was 108 degrees on three of those days. My bill was out of sight. It did take some money to pay that, too, you know, by the way. You don't believe you need money? Don't pay them this month. Why y'all laughing? I tried that one time. It's only money. We're just friends, right? What's a few zeros among friends? You know what I'm saying? Didn't work out. And you know, they wanted some serious money to turn it back on, too. They wasn't playing when they came back out to the house. Great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days aren't cut short, no human beings will survive. That's some rough stuff, y'all. That's what's in the future. And as we see this gathering on the news every night, we can know that he's coming back soon. And he doesn't tell us this that we're in panic and fear. He tells us this so that we'll be sober and serious. Now look, everybody knows I love to cut up. And everybody knows my wife likes to cut up a whole lot more than I do. But there's a time to get serious in your life. There's a time to get serious with God. You know, entirely too many people want to come to church and play. They want to come to church and play. We've had a lot of that. We have good worship and people want to come and just play in the anointing, you know, and then they don't want to take to heart the word that we feed them to go home and live right before God Almighty. Because, you know, there's a day coming. There's a day coming when he's going to call everybody into account. You know, right now, the angels are all around, and they're watching what you do. You know, when I was a pagan, we used to talk about Christmas. Santa Claus is making his list and checking it twice. I got news for y'all. Santa Claus ain't got no list. But the Lord does. And he checks it more than twice. And praise God he does check it more than twice, because we got some time to take a few things off of that list that we really don't want on it. Praise God. But he's making that list, and he's checking that list, and he's going over that list, and day by day by day, we're making those decisions that say we are going to get delivered out of here, or we're going to have to go prove why we really wanted to do it right. You know, I tell people, you know, you can die for the Lord today, or you can die for the Lord later. The beautiful thing about dying for him today is you can die for him today by turning off yourself and living the way he tells you to live, denying yourself those foolish things you think you got to have that really aren't good for you. Or you can die for him in the tribulation. But the Lord is going to know you. He's going to know whether you're real for him. He's going to know whether you're right. He's going to know whether you're talking junk in the house of God, or whether you really mean what you say from the bottom of your heart, the depths of your being. Because he's not going to pull people out of here that need it. What did he say? He said, "I wish you were cold or hot." Now, let's analyze this for a second. Do you really think the Lord wants you to be cold with him? Do you really think he climbed up on that cross and took your punishment because he wants you to be cold with him? Do you really think he stretched his arms out and let him put those down? Look, he said, "I can call down 12 legions of angels right now." Do you really think he let them drive those nails in his hands so you can be cold with him? Do you really think he took the beating of all time, where he was marred beyond even the appearance of a human being? Do you think he did that just so you could be cold with him? What's he telling you? I'm going to make a decision here, and I want you on one side of the line or the other, so that I know what I'm going to do with you. Now, those people who get red hot for Jesus, he's going to take care of them. Look here, man. The Jewish wedding lays so many things out, and we don't have time to teach it here today. But look, no man is going to let his bride be ravished by some fool before the wedding. Come on, think about it in the natural. Nobody's going to let their bride be ravished. Shoot, man, there are many of us that jump up in the face of a grizzly bear to save our wives right now. Come on now, think about it. Somebody going to attack your wife, there'll be a monster come out of you that, phew, machine gun might not be enough. Come on now. And do we think he's any different? Do we think the God of all creation is going to let somebody ravish his wife? But now, if you're cold, then you're really not his bride-to-be, are you? Right. Think about that. Think about that. So he's going to let you go into tribulation to figure out why you needed to be red hot. Oh. That's not a side of things I want to be on. Hey, man, I mean, it's the time to be with it, the time not. But that's the time to be with it for sure, for real, all the time. He's coming back. Luke chapter 21. See, these things are already happening. These things have been happening. You know, in one place he talks about sackcloth suns and bloody moons. You ever wonder what that meant? The sun turns black and the moon turns blood red? Well, I wondered about that for years. We had our little private theories. We'd talk and preach on it stuff. The rabbis already have this defined. We don't have to wonder what that means. They've already known for thousands of years what it is. Because they're the ones that wrote it, right? They know what it is they wrote. See, we try to take things out of the English sanitized version. So I call it the English mistranslation. They got things in the straight Hebrew. They got the real deal. A sackcloth sun is a certain type of solar eclipse where the sun turns black. A bloody moon is a type of lunar eclipse. We just had a couple of them here, and we talked about it. The moon turns red like blood. It's a certain type of lunar eclipse, and the moon turns red like blood. We've been having those over Jerusalem on holy days since 1996. Hey, we're already in those last days, baby. You're not waiting for these to happen. They've already been happening while we weren't paying any attention. I got a better one for you. Jesus said it will be in the days of Noah when he returns. Right? Amen. I got an amen on that. Got a witness on that. Now, you remember the Hale-Bopp comet? All the big controversy. Remember the Looney Tunes with the flying saucer people all committed suicide? Remember that? The motherships hiding behind the comet and all that stuff? That year, Hebrew numbers are letters. Like, remember the Roman numerals as a kid? Roman letters are numerals. Hebrew letters are numerals. Arabic script, which our numbers are, isn't coming around till 600 A.D., the letters for the year the Hale-Bopp comet came through spell the name Noah. The astronomers tell us the last time that comet came through is about the time Noah was building the ark. See, you're already in the days of Noah. You didn't even know it. This has been going on all around you while we're not paying a bit of attention to what's going on. We're just struggling to get our house payment made and keep the bills paid and keep our kids out of trouble. Amen? That's all we're worried about. And yet, meanwhile, you're in the days of Noah 10 years. You're in the bloody moons and the sackcloth suns 10 years. How much further out can it get? Luke chapter 21, verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another and every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they ask, when will these things happen and what will be the sign they're about to take place? Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming that I am the Christ. And the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Ethnos will rise against ethnos and religion against religion. Then there'll be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, fearful events, and great signs from heaven. Do you know right now they're tracking three different asteroids that have the potential to strike planet Earth and cause utter devastation here? Fearful signs are already going on, but you don't read that in the news. That's in the fine print in the way back of the Wall Street Journal, way down in a little small article way in the back. You got to really be looking for some of this stuff to find it. This stuff's already going on, y'all. Fearful events in the heavens are taking place right now. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. This results in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind beforehand not to worry how to defend yourselves, for I'll give you the words and the wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. Hey, man, did you find out when you got saved how your friends didn't like you anymore? Come on now. Amazing. Used to have a house full of folks on Friday night to party, but then when I start keeping the Sabbath, they all cleared out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You tell it, brother. That's exactly right. But not a hair of your head will perish, and by standing firm you'll gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. You know, this happened once. But they're talking about doing it again. Do you know that the Syrian army is already on alert and they've already moved it across from the Golan Heights to invade Israel? Did you know what's going on right now? Israel just had two planes that dropped their bombs in Syria, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? And people are talking now, they think that was a practice run to go to Iran and bomb their nuke sites. A colonel in the Iranian Air Force said that, that's all right, we have a plan for them. We're going to nuke them when they come. Look, you're standing on the edge of World War III right now. You got the look, if the Iranians nuke Israel, guess who's going to nuke Iran? The Russians said if we nuke Iran, they're going to nuke us. Oops. That ain't cool. I don't know about you. I grew up in the Cold War. That ain't cool. We had to study all the stuff that was going to happen in a nuclear war. That ain't something we want to live through. You talking about some devastation that's going to go around the world? Nah, there'd be some devastation going around the world. But this is how it lined up in World War I. If you attack that, I'm going to attack you. If you attack them, we'll attack this one. This one attack that one. And that's how the whole world broke out in a chain of war. Happened the same way in World War II. You jump in Poland, we're going to jump on you. Oh, you jump on the Brits, we're going to jump on you. Oh, you attack Pearl Harbor, we're going to fight back. So, I mean, this is how these things get started. And they're lining up right now in the Middle East. How many of y'all know in Ezekiel chapter 38 it talks about Persia and Russia invading Israel? Wow. Wow. And you see it on the news every night going on. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They'll fall by the sword and will be taken prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. 2004, we just had this massive tsunami in Indonesia. People were literally freaking out. I was talking to a missionary who went over there and who serves that part of Indonesia. That's where they did the most persecution against the Christians, by the way. Banda Aceh. And the Muslims said that the ocean roared up like a giant cobra head before it came in to take them. And then are you feeling this like I'm feeling it? Look, this man told me that he was talking to some Christian ladies that hid in a house and were in there praying. The whole village was wiped out, and that house was the only one standing. The three little Christian ladies, and it was the only one standing, and the water went 20 feet over the top of that house, and nobody got wet in the building. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Give him some praise and glory. And you know what? Six of their Muslim friends ran to the house and sought refuge because they knew the God of those Christians would save them. Amen? They got saved, and they're Christians now. How's that? Ha ha. I love to tell a story about Jesse Duplantis on an airplane. He was sitting next to a Muslim, and he thought he witnessed to the Muslim. Muslim didn't want to hear all that. But then the plane developed some engine trouble and began to drop precipitously from the sky. Everybody's crying out, Jesus! Nobody cried out Allah. Funny. Nobody cried out Allah because there's no power in that name. But it's amazing how Mr. Duplantis was pointing out that on the way down, as the plane is dropping rather fast, the Muslim guy's squeezing his arm till he about broke it and said, get me saved now! Hey, he didn't trust his God because he knew his God wasn't going to save him, y'all. Look at here. When the push comes to shove and the danger's in your face, everybody's running to Jesus because they don't got no trust in where they're at. Come on, give him some praise in the house. You know, World War III is not far from breaking out, and we've got to start getting close to the Lord. We've got to start getting in those Bibles, blowing the dust off of them, and reading the Word of God. We got to start praying every day. Got to get that prayer life tuned up. We got to know, not just know Him, know about Him. We've got to know Him. You've got to know Him on that personal, one-on-one, close relationship. He doesn't want a distant friend out of you. He wants a best friend out of you. The songs we sang. That's real stuff, man. That's not something to come in here and get all nice and ghost bump feeling and stuff in church. That's something to take home and really go with. That's something to do laying on your face in the privacy of your house. Because we don't mind if you lay on your face here either. Acts chapter 3. One of my daughters had a t-shirt, Make War on the Floor. Wished I could have ever got copies of that, but I never could. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord and that He may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised through His prophets long ago. The Hebrew Roots movement is a part of the restoration of all things. How many of y'all know the Church of Acts was Jewish? He didn't want these Jewish things taken out. They're his things. How many of y'all know Jesus is still Jewish? Right now, in heaven above, he's still Jewish. When he comes back to rule, he'll be Jewish. We read in Isaiah, he's going to sit on David's throne over the house of Israel and the whole world. The Jewish things weren't supposed to be taken out of the church. We were supposed to take the Jewish things to the Gentiles. Instead, we took their things into the church and made it a new religion. That's why you can't save a Jewish person right now. They know what they're talking about. We've got to come back to them. It's a restoration of all things before the Lord Jesus can return. Hey, do you want him back from heaven or not? I want him back, man. I'm tired of him being gone, frankly. I could use a little time with the Lord one-on-one, face-to-face, instead of just in the spirit. But the restoration of all things has got to take place. This Feast of Tabernacles is a part of the restoration of all things. The Holy Days is a part of the restoration of all things. Jesus gave these things that we're going to talk about tomorrow. The whole plan of God for the salvation of mankind is laid out in the Holy Days. Did you know that? Look, you don't believe me? Every year we take communion, right? Amen? That's what the Passover meal has been whittled down to. You know why it got whittled down? You go down to 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I have no regard for you in this. One comes drunk and another eats while another's hungry. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? So they quit the meal and gave up the Passover Seder and cut it down to communion. You got ripped off. You got ripped off. You didn't get the full deal. You paid the full price, but you're getting the chump change. How many of y'all have been keeping the Passover Seder with us? That's a good time in the Lord. That's what your communion started out as. The full Passover meal. Hey, for those of you who've kept it, would you trade now? See what I'm saying? The restoration of all things. The restoration of all things. Jesus is in heaven until everything has been restored among the people of God. It's up to us to make sure we get this out to people that they can be restored fully. Why? Because we want him to come back. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of him being gone. Aren't you tired of him being gone? How much better would the world be if you sit on the throne right now? We couldn't even begin to tell you. Okay, Colossians 3. We want to hasten his return by living right. We need to get deep in the Word of God and actually read the things in here and change our life to conform to Him, not change Him to conform to us. You know, we understand these things in the natural so well, but when we take them to the spiritual, for some reason, we get lost. My wife married me. She didn't take her name to me. She took my name to her. She conformed to me. Ain't been real happy about it since, but that's just part of it. We're talking about the church being the bride of Christ. He's not going to come down and be a Gentile for me. I'm going to become a Jew for him. You know what Romans says? A person is not a Jew who's one outwardly. A person is a Jew who's one inwardly. Circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. So we worship for, right? We're going to change to conform to him. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. He is coming back. That is the central theme of the New Testament writers, that Christ is coming back and that when he comes, you will appear with him in glory. Wow, that's heavy. You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to look like him because John says you'll see him as he is because you'll be just like him. Amen. We're coming back for good times on planet Earth because when Jesus comes back, he has all authority in heaven and earth to subdue all nations to live the way he tells them. Hey, that's pretty stout, isn't it? You know what? We're going to go to Revelation 19 in a minute. We're going to show you just how powerful that authority is to the folks that don't want to conform. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, real quick, one little verse. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He's not coming back to be the nice little sweet guy that died for your sins. He did that already. He's coming back, as it says right here in Hebrews 28. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. He's coming to bring you the kingdom. He's coming to bring you the rule of God's government on earth so that things will be right, so there'll be justice and equity and peace and tranquility. The lamb has already been here. The lion is on the way. Come on, y'all. The lamb's already been here. He's done all of that. He's coming back with vengeance to take vengeance on your enemies that have persecuted you for being a Christian. He's coming back with justice to judge the nations. And he's going to judge them with a rod of iron. 2 Timothy 4. Too far back. Y'all ever go the wrong way? Get happy, start heading one way, it's way past where you're supposed to be. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but all to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you long for his appearing? Do you really long for his appearing? I mean, we sang about it today in the songs, but I mean, is that what you do in your private moments? Is that what you do at home when you're alone? Do you really just long for him to come back and clean this mess up and straighten some things out? How many of y'all have had problems on the job here and there, and we just like someone to come in and sit down and say, hey, this is right and this is wrong, and make it good? Come on, that's what he's coming back for. He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He's coming to do that repaying. He's coming to set those things straight. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do good. Look, Jesus is coming back and you can take that to the bank. You can take it down to your bank and deposit that right in your checking account Monday morning when they reopen. But we've got to step up to the plate. The problem is we're not ready. We were talking at lunch and a lady's had a vision where she saw the bride and her garments were tattered and dirty and stained. And another woman saw the bride and we were in a bridal store. And this man brought these hunting dogs that came in and splattered all the dresses with mud. So we've seen this more than one time and more than one vision. We ain't ready for his return. We got to get ready. We're holding things up, man. Don't you realize the four horsemen are riding through places like Darfur, Sudan, and they're killing people and they're starving people. People are suffering because we're hanging around. We must like it too much here. We need to get ready. He says he's coming to purify for himself a people eager to do good. Are we eager to do good? Do we want to walk in that pure holy life? I love to hear the holiness preachers. And all they give you is man-made rules. Where's the holiness? There's no man-made rules can make you holy. Holiness is found in Leviticus. Godliness is found in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Books we don't really read. Books where we don't go. Preachers don't preach on Leviticus. Of course, I heard a few around atonement, but they wanted your offering. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, send an atonement offering. Yeah, we want that offering. That's not holiness. Holiness is the way to have right, proper conduct. I was talking to a gentleman this afternoon at Coleman about he used to drive admirals in the Navy. And he had to follow the uniform code of military justice here to properly handle himself to be able to drive admirals on base. And yet we want to come in and we want to say, I want to drive around the presence of Jesus. But it just doesn't matter how I act and how I behave and how I live and what I do. Well, he already laid down the uniform code of Christian justice. Starts in Genesis and ends in the maps. And he expects us to follow these if we want to carry his presence and hold his presence. I don't know about you. I don't want to live without his presence. There ain't no rules up in the front part of this that are too hard for me to do. I've read them all. Wrote a copy out for myself by hand. 17 pages. I do taxes for people. The tax book for the 1040 form is like 200 pages long, and every time you get into something important, it says, call for publication 697, because this doesn't tell you anything. Come on. 77,000 pages in the Internal Revenue Code, and they don't even know what it means. Money Magazine does a study every single year on the tax code. If you call 52 times and they do it, you get 52 answers on the same question, because nobody knows what it means anymore. God's given you 17 pages of simple, easy-to-follow rules, and you know what most of them are? Don't wrong your neighbor. Quit being ugly to folks. He's just giving you the details, that's all. Do unto others as you do unto you is the easy version, and the stuff in the law is the little how-tos. Come on, y'all. It ain't that difficult to live right before him. He wants a people pure and holy. He's coming back for you, man. Come on. Shouldn't we want to do right for him? Shouldn't we want to live right for him? 1 Peter 5. I know a lot of places, a lot of folks don't get into all these verses and all these different places in the Bible. I don't see how they live without it. I don't know. I'm a hungry guy. Come on, y'all know me. I eat. But I'm the same way in the Word of God. I don't just want a little bit of God. I don't want a little daily devotional. I got to have some Word, man. I got to read in there and really get my... I'm hungry for Him. I'm hungry for Him, and this is what I have to go with. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. He said He's coming back to reward you for your works. Grace is free. Your salvation was free. But what you do in the body after you get saved, He's going to reward you for that. And He's got His reward with Him. We taught on that on trumpets. My reward is with me, said the Lord. My reward is with me. Well, what's He got in His hand for you? What's He got in His hand for you? What reward will He put in your hand? What crown will be set on your head? Have you done the kind of things for Him and lived the kind of life for Him that He's going to be well pleased and will richly reward you? Or is He going to say, enter in? What kind of look on His face are you going to receive? When you got to stand there face to face with Him at His return, and He's standing in front, we ain't talking about in the Spirit, we ain't talking about an apparition, we're talking about live Jesus right in your face. What's going to be the expression on His face when He makes eye contact with you? Is He going to be happy? Is He going to be joyous? Is He going to be excited? Is He going to have that face on Him that says, I love You, You've done so good, I've watched everything, and it has pleased Me every minute of every day? Or is He going to go, you got in here? How'd you get in? Is He going to be ashamed when you get there? Go on in. These are important things to think about. You know, we think about the trivial things, like the mortgage all the time. And look, I'm a financial planner. Mortgage isn't so trivial when you don't make the payment. I've done that once. It wasn't very pleasant. But that's trivial compared to what's going on in the world. That's trivial compared to what you're looking at in the next couple of years. That's trivial compared to standing in front of Him and making that eye contact. You know, we sing the song, I Can Only Imagine. Have you imagined? Have you imagined? Have you really thought about it? Oh, we know what we would like to do when we see Him. But what have we done for Him in this flesh since we got saved that's going to make Him want to see us? See, that's a whole different story, isn't it? That's a whole different story. That's why Jesus and every other Christian writer has told you in the pages of this book, to live right before Him. To live right before Him. To do the things that pleases Him. To show up at church on the days He likes. To eat the foods He wants. To dress the way He likes. To live your life in accordance with the way He's laid out already. You know, He didn't say all this stuff in the front of the book to hear Himself talk. That was my dad's favorite saying. Boy, I didn't say I like to hear myself talk. It was usually followed up by, don't make me tell you twice. After that, we were running out the door for dear life, baby. I can tell you that right now. But you know, God doesn't want to have to tell you twice. And as Coleman pointed out, sometimes God tells you three and four times the same thing, and we ignore it the third and fourth time the same way we did the first time. He didn't say all this stuff to hear Himself talk. He said it because it's for our benefit and our blessing and our growth and our edification. And if we'll live this way, we're earning for ourselves a crown of righteousness that He's bringing with Him when He comes. I don't know about you, but I'm the greedy pastor. I'm the greedy pastor. I don't just want to smile. Huh? Come on, think about it. Do you just want to smile? I want the big, massive public display of affection. I want to hear Him shout and holler, Chelsea, my boy, you done good. I'm just glad to have you here. Can't wait to get you in the house. Come on. You know what you want to hear? You know what you want to hear? Put your name in there. You know what you want to hear? Don't you want to see Him excited to see you? Come on now, think about it. Well, let's live that way. Let's live the way that makes Him happy. 1 Corinthians 1. Don't miss out on your crown of glory. Devote yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy. Live that way now. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Are you eagerly waiting? Do you want to see Him come back? Have you lived the kind of life that makes you happy to think about His return instead of, well, Lord, just give me a little bit more time. I got some things to work on. I'm not done yet. Y'all never said that before? I know I've said it before. Am I the only one in church that got into some messes while he was a Christian and, Lord, I need a little more time to work this out? Come on now. I know I'm not alone in here. We need to be proficient in the spiritual gifts because these gifts were given to help us to attain the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. That's what he's expecting. That's a high standard. It's not a low standard just to get in the door. It's a high standard. He's expecting it. And we have to live that way. And that's why he gives the spiritual gifts. So that you can attain the level he's expecting you to attain. Now look, people always look at me funny when I say stuff like this. Jesus didn't pull off a cheap salvation for you. He wasn't penny pitching when it came time for your needs. He gave everything for you. He's only expecting a little bit back from you. Amen. I think we can attain that for him. Zechariah. It's right before Malachi. It's two chapters back from Matthew. Zechariah. For some of y'all that don't realize this, Zechariah is the Jewish book of Revelation. Most everything in the book of Revelation you find in the book of Zechariah. This was the revelation of the Old Testament. Zechariah. All the good stuff is in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you, and I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then Jesus will go out and fight against those nations. We're not talking lamb now. We're talking the Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to show up and he's going to defend his people. And I would hate to be on the wrong side of that deal. Amen. Hey, when he shows up, he's not going to be looking nice. He's not going to be that soft-haired, soft smile person that you see in these pictures. He's going to be madder than a hornet, and he's going to take it out on the folks that have mistreated his people. Come on now. Hey, people say the Lord doesn't get angry. I can take you to probably 20 verses that says he does get angry. Hey, I read about the wrath of God in the book of Revelation. That wrath. We don't use that word much in the modern America anymore, but it means a lot angrier than angry. Come on now. Hey. Hey, I don't want the Lord's wrath, okay? I don't want the Lord's wrath. Amen. I want His shalom. I want His shalom. Then the Lord will go out and fight those nations as He fights in the day of battle. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Do you know that Jewish geologists have found a massive rift in the Mount of Olives? They say it's a wonder it hadn't already split. I got news for him. It's waiting on a pair of sandals. Amen. It's waiting on a pair of sandals. But it's already split right down the middle, exactly the way they say, from east to west. And when the earthquake happens, it's just going to shift. Going to be a huge valley right there in the middle. It's already waiting to go. You'll flee by the mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel, and you will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. Hey, y'all, are you trying to attain to be one of these holy ones? That's my goal. My goal is to try to live right enough before him in my personal life and my conduct that I can be one of these holy ones right here. Hey, come on now. This is where the fun's going to be. Look, you can call me. They'll call me late to a party now. My brother had a little testimony. I got one to go right along with it. Don't call me late to no parties. Now, I'm the guy that comes help you set up, and I'm the guy that'll still be here at the very end cleaning up. I love going to parties. This ain't a party to miss, man. This ain't one to come fashionably late to. This is the one you want to be in there from the beginning, and you want to stay all the way till the end of it. Because it's going to be the party of all time. But now for these people, they've been hurting his Jewish kin. It ain't going to be a party for them. Amen. He said, take care of my kin folks while I'm gone. We ain't done such a good job of that. On that day there will be no light, no cold, no frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over all the earth, and on that day there will be one Lord in His name, the only name. Come on now. Come on, if you're not feeling this, I don't know what you'll ever feel. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah, but Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place from the Benjamin Gate to the site of the first gate to the corner gate and from the Tower of Hananel to the royal wine press. It will be inhabited, never again destroyed. Jerusalem will become secure, and this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. Judah too will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the surrounding nations will be collected. Great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and mules, the camels and donkeys, and all the animals in those camps. Then the survivors. Y'all realize there's going to be some survivors, right? We're coming to rule with Jesus. There'll be people to rule. There'll be survivors. The survivors of all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And here you are, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles right now. Huh? That's the first thing He's going to do when He gets back, is set up the Feast of Tabernacles in the whole world. Oh, you don't think the whole world will come to feast? Nobody shows up now, as you can look around and see. But you know what? There's a day coming when you'll keep the Feast of Tabernacles or you ain't going to have a good time. Huh? Look at here. Let's read on. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will not have any rain. Oops, that's kind of a rough year, y'all. If you don't go up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, you ain't going to have no rain. You don't eat if you don't have rain. We forget that in modern America. But if it doesn't rain, the crops don't grow. No crops, no groceries. Oh, in America where we have great stores of food, it might take 3 months for that to get to the store shelf. But trust me, it will come. No rain, no food. There's a big soybean field out by my house, and it didn't rain this summer. Remember, guys? They plowed it under because they couldn't harvest any beans. Because it quit raining right before the beans began to bloom. And they didn't bloom. They burnt down. Hey, that's a large field. I don't know what that guy was going to do with his beans. But nobody's going to eat them, I can assure you that, because there ain't no beans to eat. Huh? There's another big cornfield on the other side of Highland from over by my house. Man mowed it down and plowed it under, planted wheat. Wheat's about this tall now. Why'd he do that? Because he didn't harvest any corn. There wasn't any corn, because it dried up before the ears began to form, and so they didn't fill out. Hey, no rain is quick. And if the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they'll have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague He inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And this will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Wow, that's real heavy. The Lamb has been here, the Lion's on the way. Jesus is coming to make things right. The reason you're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles is because this feast represents His ruling planet Earth for 1,000 years. And if you're not going to come up and celebrate His ruling of planet Earth while He's ruling planet Earth, you got an issue. See, we don't have a problem with Jesus being the Passover Lamb. We don't have a problem with the birth of the church on Pentecost. There's 4 more holy days to finish out the year. There's 4 more holy days. The return of Jesus on trumpets. The putting away of Satan the devil on the Day of Atonement. The rule of Jesus for 1,000 years in the tabernacles. And the last great day with the great white throne judgment. See, the plan of God is in the holy days for the salvation of all mankind. He laid this out thousands and thousands of years ago. It's all in the Word. It's all right here in the Word. He's coming to bring justice to those who've done wrong. He's coming back to avenge the blood of His martyrs, from Abel to the last saint killed in the tribulation. You know, He hasn't been looking away. His ear's not deaf. His hand is not short to save. He's seen it all. He's storing it up until the wrath of God is full, till the sin and the wickedness on this earth has filled up the measure that's been predetermined, and then He's going to come and bring judgment. So now, That's why it's so urgent to get people saved and get people right. That's why it's so urgent for people to quit coming to church and playing. This ain't about playing. It's about getting right with God. It's about turning your life over to Him. It's one thing to sing the songs. We have to live the songs. We have to live the songs. You know, we have worship services, and I'm not saying you have to get on your face. But you know what? Might be a good idea. Hello? Come on now. Look, you go back, and any time when the glory of God appeared, they all fell on their face. The glory of God was in here. Did you feel it when the air got thick? Did you feel it when it was hard to breathe? Did you feel it when it was hard to stand up? That's the power of God. We need to worship Him. And we need to live that way of life that says, I want to be close to you. Revelation 19. People tell me all the time, why don't you teach smooth things? Why don't you tell me what I want to hear? Why don't you tell me something that makes me feel good? I tell you what, you better be searching out a pastor who's going to tell you straight. Amen. There's troublous times coming. You better find a pastor to tell you straight. It's better to leave church feeling bad and turn around and make the changes in your life to get right with the Lord and face Him in happiness and joy than to run around here living like the devil and everybody telling you it's all right. It's all right. It'll be okay. And it's not going to be okay. Now, there's too many people that lie to you about sin. I was talking to a friend of mine and he was talking about some of these churches where the pastors are living in sin. Whoa, man. To stand up here and handle the Word of God while you're out having affairs on your wife? Whoa, man. Whoa. Where's the fear of God? Now look, we throw that word around and we confuse it with the Scripture that says perfect love has no fear. That word is respect, adoration, revere. Where's the reverence for God? Where's the respect for God that we don't carry ourselves like that and come up here and handle the Word of God or prance around church acting like we're some righteous person when we're out here living in sin? Oh! Right before I moved to Florida, a extremely large Methodist church in Palm Beach, the music minister was arrested and he was running the largest child pornography ring in the United States in 1990. They were actually trafficking in young boys as sex slaves. He walked into church every week acting like he was somebody. The music minister. While he's doing these hideous acts, where's the fear of God? Where's the fear of God? Don't they read this stuff in the Bible? Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself, and he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He's not coming back to play. He's not going to ask them, please change this the way I want it. He's going to tell them how they're going to do it, and they're going to get right with it, or something will happen to them they really won't like. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. The fury. You know, we read these words, we don't really understand what they mean anymore because we want everybody to be so nice all the time. The fury. Fury means that nobody's going to be able to talk to him and say, Lord, calm down. It's going to be all right. Lord, settle down. We'll work it out. Fury means here comes, hey, y'all remember watching Popeye, right? Huh? Did he pop that can? Huh? I get in trouble for saying what that is all the time. Pastor, you're not supposed to talk like that. But you know what it is. That arm gets to spin it around right there, and there ain't no stopping him when that point gets there, huh? Oh, Bluto gonna catch his punch, and he might get four or five more to go with it, huh? See, when he comes back treading the fury of the winepress of God, there's gonna be no peacifying him. He's coming back to execute judgment and justice on this earth for you and every other mistreated Christian and saint and Jewish person that's ever lived. He's coming back to exact vengeance on this earth against all those people that said, I don't have to do it your way. Oops. Well, guess what? I guess we got to do it His way. Amen. He's God, ain't He? Come on now. He's God. We're just men. Of course we got to do it His way. On His robe and on His thigh, He has His name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to ever wonder something? He comes back on that horse, that tallit's going to be right there. He's Jewish, he'll have his tallit on. It'll be dipped in blood. These tassels here, these coils, they're coiled and knotted. I don't remember which one it is anymore, but one of them is knotted, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I believe the coils spell Yeshua, His name, right there on His thigh. Right there on His thigh. He's coming back. He's serious business. I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried out in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come and gather together for the great supper of God, so you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. That's about the stupidest thing I've ever read in the whole Bible. I've read some pretty stupid things now. I mean, look, I'm not all that bright, but I've read some stuff like, you did what? God told you what to do and you went and did what? Hey, look, Jesus is coming back. He's treading the fury of the winepress of the wrath of God, and you're going to turn and make war on who? I think this would be a good time to be flat on my face begging for mercy at this point. Lord, God have mercy on my... Man, I tell you what, you're going to turn and fight Jesus coming back? No, I don't think so. Does it work? But the beast was captured. With him was the false prophet who performed the miraculous signs. With these signs he deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. All of these mammoth flesh-eating vultures are returning to the Holy Land. Amen. People don't realize this. Coleman told me about it when he went to Israel. Perry Stone's done three TV shows on that, and they showed you the birds up in the air. They're massive flesh-eating birds, and they're flocking in. There's nothing to eat there. They're getting ready because they're being called to the dinner of God for them. Another verse says they're going to be drunk with the blood of men. Drunk with the blood of men. We need to conform to His word today. You know, that sword out of His mouth is His word. It's the Bible. Kills His enemies, cuts them off the kneecaps. We need to conform to that word today so they don't have any problem with us. You know, Lanice had a vision of him standing in the Torah with the sword of God. He said, when you step outside of my word, the sword cuts you. When you stand inside my word, you have a sword to use against your enemies. That's a heavy vision, y'all. It's a heavy vision. We need to take it seriously. 2 Peter 3. And verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? For ever since the fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By that same word of God, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of all ungodly men. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With a day the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow keeping His promise to return. As some understand slowness, He's being patient, not wanting that any should perish. He wants all men to be saved. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed this kind of way, what people ought you to be? What kind of people ought we to be? Do we long for His appearing? Do we really want the Lord Jesus to come back? Because this is what He's going to come back to do. Do you want Him? How bad do you want Him? You know, I like to see the bumper sticker, Scotty, beam me up. Come on, we've all read it. I want to be taken out of here real bad because I know what's coming. I don't want to be here for it. Amen? I've read what's coming. I'm not afraid to read through the hard parts of the Bible. Hard parts of the Bible, what makes you strong, man? When you really know what's ahead of you, it gets you strong. No, I can't give in to that wile of the devil because I know what's around the corner. No, I got to stand up and be strong for my God because I know what's fixing to happen in this world. Yeah, I'm going to get strong for him. You should say in the car business all the time, get strong, man, get strong. Who cares about closing a deal on a car? You know what I'm saying? Let's get strong for the Lord God and live the way he tells us. Let's get strong for the Lord God and get back in parts of the Bible we've never been in or don't ever go very often. And learn what he means by the words he says. He didn't say all this stuff to hear himself talk. This is your protection. It's your defense. It's your salvation. It's your deliverance. It's your protection from trouble. I love this part about the Torah. People always tell me the law's done away with. Really. People don't know this, but in the law of God, when you get married, you're supposed to be off for a year with your wife. That's bondage. Chain me to the wall. A lot of people don't know this, but every seventh year you're supposed to take the whole year off. The whole year off? My goodness, I have a hard time getting 8 days off. Are you kidding? Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. God said we don't have no rain if we don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Somebody got to keep it on earth. We'd all die. God said you get a whole year off every seventh year. That's bondage. What's so hard about that? I tell you what's hard. What's hard living in Satan's world and in mystery money. That's why you can't keep the seventh year off. You can't keep the Sabbath year off because you're in Satan's mystery money. Do you have any money? You got any money? I don't have any money. You got any money? See, it's a mystery. Nobody has any money. So it's called the mystery money. No one's got any money. Huh? My brother says just paper. Somebody hands me a piece of paper? I hand them paper. Just paper. Right? If we didn't live under Satan's mystery money, where all money is debt, then we could have the seventh year off. Wouldn't that be sweet? And hey, you wonder how good God is? After seven of those, that's 49 years, right? The 50th year, you get a bonus year off too. Hey, that's pretty smooth. But that's a burden. We don't want that. We don't be under that. That's old law. That's old burden. Burden? Man, I need that kind of time off. Who are you kidding, man? I'm 46 years old. I should be coming up on my double-double year in a couple years. Huh? Wouldn't that be sweet? 49 and 50 off. I didn't get a year off with my wife when we got married. I'd go to work the next day. Come on, man. Do you want the truth? You want to put away the fables and the myths and get right into the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Are you tired of playing games at church? Do you really want him and all you can have of him? Are you willing to go back and read and study and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? You know, that's what Jesus said. You ever wonder about that verse? Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you ever look it up in the margin? The little margin, you know, with the little things in the middle? He's quoting a passage in Deuteronomy when God told ancient Israel, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. He's quoting it back to you. That's all he's doing. Matter of fact, if you look at most everything he says, he's quoting a passage in Deuteronomy. He's just telling you straight. These words that he gave you, they're life. Some of y'all have worshipped to the Michael W. Smith song, Ancient Words. Ancient words, ever true. Ancient words changing me and changing you. Are they changing you? Have they been changing you? Will they get you changed in time? We like to start reading in Matthew. But how can you understand what Matthew's telling you if you didn't read the first part? We don't watch movies that way. Let's see, I'm going to get a good movie. What's that one movie we watched, the Harrison Ford movie with the airplane and... Hey, how about you take any Star Wars? Let's just jump in 2/3 through the movie and explain everything that happens at the end. We don't do that. That'd be foolish, right? Waste a lot of good money at the rental store. Will we go back and do it? You know, we've got to be a people who will do what God says, not just talk about it. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. This age of man and this age of Satan the devil is about to be over. Are you going to be the kind of people that will be coming back with him on those white horses called the armies of God? Will you be one of the holy ones mentioned in Zechariah? We're going to have to live right if we're going to do that. Are you ready to meet your Savior? Are you ready and prepared to look into His eyes? You know, I can tell you right now that of all the things we have to do, there's nothing more important than getting right with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love to worship. I've been to some concerts. The problem is there's no follow-through. It's great to have that decision for the Lord, but there's no follow-through so much of the time. Nobody's taking these people by the hand and walking them through the pages of the Bible to disciple them to live the way Jesus lived. I love this saying, what would Jesus do? But there's a better one. What did He do? He's already showed you what He would do. It's all in the pages of the book. We just got to go back here and read it and say, what did He do? How did He live? What did He do in a situation? Because we got to conform to that. You know, in Matthew 5, verse 17, He says, do not think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Scholars have been arguing about this for years, but we had Brad Scott a couple months ago, and he's a Greek scholar. He's a Greek scholar. He gets into the nitty-gritty of these words and what they mean in the original language and how they were used in this time period and that. What it really means, don't think I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, because I've come to show you how you're supposed to live them out. That's a heavy revelation, y'all. Jesus said to him who much is given, much is demanded, and I've given you much. You don't have the luxury of forgetting about it now and going on home and whatever. To whom much is given, much is demanded. We come in the presence of God and we worship until we can feel His touch. We pray for people in different situations until they can feel the power of God. We preach the Word till you can feel it in your heart. And you feel that quickening of the Holy Spirit. These are your confirmations from God that what's going on is real. These are your confirmations from God that what's going on is right. Jesus is going to return very soon. Will it be next year? I don't know. Will it be the year after? You know, in the time of your life, 18 months, 24 months, 36 months is not a whole lot of time. When you look at your life and you think about the return of Jesus, that's not much time to get ready if you knew for certain He was coming back. Now, Jesus said, no man will know the day or the hour of my return. I'm going to tell you why. He did not say you would not know the season. As a matter of fact, in Amos, it says that surely the Lord God does nothing except He reveal it first to His servants and prophets. We can know the season of His return. He came as the Passover lamb on Passover. He prepared a holy people in the book of Acts during the days of unleavened bread. He brought the holy fire of God and birthed a church on the day of Pentecost. The next thing in the prophetic plan is His return, and the next holy day is the Day of Trumpets. Well, Pastor Bill, you just gave me the day and the hour, right? Look, we're so weird in our hyper-modern world, it's beyond belief. The Day of Trumpets is on a new moon. The Jews count the new moon from the first sighting of the sliver of the crescent in the sky. They didn't wait and keep one 24-hour period like we're so stingy. We're stingy. We're stingy with God. We're really stingy with God. We expect God to show up and give all His presents and do all these great things for us, and we're only willing to keep 24 hours when the ancients kept 3 days. Why'd they do that? Well, from the Babylonian times, they could tell you when the full of the dark moon would take place. It's called the conjunction. They can put it on a calendar. We can know this out into infinity because of Newton's laws of classical motion. But they can't tell you when you'll sight the first crescent in the sky. Now, you know as well as I do, the moon is full for 3 days, right? It's full for 3 days. Known that from little kids in elementary school science class. It's also dark for 3 days. He was 3 days in the tomb. When they sight the first crescent, it's called the moon has been born again. And He was raised after the third day. You can't know the day or the hour. Now let me tell you how the Day of Trumpets. Sister, would you bring me my little short shofar? Just bring me a little short one right there. Thank you so much. I was asking Sister, she didn't have to do that, but thank you so much, Scott. Yeah, I was talking to her behind you, but the high priest would wait until two witnesses sighted the sliver of the first crescent. Did you get that? There'll be two witnesses that appear in Jerusalem and testify of the Lord's coming before he shows up. Come on now. You got the moon dead for 3 days and is born again at the end of the third day. Christ was in the tomb 3 days and raised at the end of the third day. You've got two witnesses to cite. They've got to go to the high priest and be examined. And when the high priest is satisfied, yes, indeed, they saw the first sliver of the crescent moon, they would go out and sound the shofar. And they didn't know the day or the hour till they heard the shofar, but when they heard it, that's when the party started. Your English mistranslation says that Jesus will return at the last trump. And over there, a pair of silver trumpets. That's not the word that's used in the original language. It's this. The shofar. Jesus will return at the last shofar. The trumpet is blown over 100 times on the day of trumpets to signify the joy of the return of the Lord to rule this earth. And the last trump. You don't know when it's blown, just when it's blown. You want to know what you'll hear when the Lord Jesus returns? And it said when he blew this, when he gave the Ten Commandments, that it waxed louder and louder. Moses said, I fear and I quake exceedingly. And the people cowered back in fear and said, Moses, you go speak to God lest we die. But you see, he's trying to get you to a place where when you hear the sound of the trumpet, you want to go up and meet him in the clouds. Amen. Amen.